This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
Talking about Willis.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souf.
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Souf on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what a dude!
Ahoy.
What's up?
Turn and burn, baby.
What's
I'm ready
on?
To go.
Good Tuesday.
I'm ready to sport so hard right now, you're not even gonna believe it.
Me too.
Yeah. We only got 2.5 hours to sports. I mean, and then in the news, I mean, come on. We got like an hour. An hour tops to sport.
Yeah,
let's
we're
go.
Filler today because the real star of the show is at 5:30 when Joey Mack takes over and the Ducks take on the Hoosiers tonight.
I mean, look.
God dang, what do you think?
You got Joey Mack on deck. Exactly. All you try to do is you try to ease the people into the greatness that is Joey Mack. You can't be expected to follow that.
No, we're just pre-gaming.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we're going to sports hard, I think.
Yeah.
I feel it. Tumani Kamara talk all day, taking calls.
Defensive player of the, was it the month or week?
Month.
Hey, bottom line is this. Now that Kyrie Irving is out for the year, and poor Mavericks fans, I mean, that, and they're raising ticket prices.
Yep.
You think that's going to be rescinded, like, pretty soon?
No, I don't.
They had to have thought about that beforehand. Then again, maybe
they don't give a rip, dude.
You trade Luka. Anthony Davis gets hurt 31 minutes into his Mavericks career, may not come back, and then Kyrie Irving blows his knee, and now you're raising ticket prices by like 8 to 10%? Have fun with that.
Well, we're going to do a whole thing on this today, but we might as well just start now.
Yeah. Well, I told you, man.
Because we have a short show.
We're ready to sports.
Guys, move on.
Can you think of, because yesterday we were talking about the Commanders, you know, the football team.
Yes. Which I still, that bothers me immensely that they're the Commanders, and apparently they're going to stay the Commanders.
Well, they have new ownership.
Yes.
And it's amazing how you go from bad owner to good owner, how quickly things can change.
Absolutely.
You know? Well, look at the Dallas Mavericks the other way.
Yeah.
And when you go from good owner to bad owner, it's amazing how quickly things can change.
100%.
Because, I mean, is there no more shining example than Dallas?
It's shocking.
I mean, it is shocking.
Some of that's rotten luck, but I mean.
I don't think it is luck. Well, I mean, it's not luck. It's just, they're just, they traded a top five player in the league.
Yeah.
For a guy who is always hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, shockingly, the guy who is always hurt got hurt. Okay. And then you raise ticket prices?
Yeah. And then the one thing that you have that anyone cares about.
And then Kyrie went down.
And I want to give Kyrie a little love here in that he was going down a road there where he was pulling like a Kanye West type stuff. Like, dude, that dude was poison. He was on the self-destructive path to the freaking sun. Like,
no one was more toxic in the NBA at one point than Kyrie Irving.
No one. And that guy, for all of his, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, idiosyncrasies or...
antics?
Yeah. He got that S together, and he may still be crazy, but he kept the crazy away from everybody, right? And he buckled down. And when that guy is on, dude, that guy is amazing. Like, he might be the most underappreciated player of his generation. He is so stinking good. And they go to the finals last year that no one sees. And then this year he kind of carries the team because Luka's hurt. And now he has to carry it because Anthony Davis is hurt again. And then he blows his knee. I mean, I feel bad for him, but if you're a Mavericks fan, good luck getting my renewal. When you call up me like, yeah, we'd like to raise ticket prices.
Wait, you have tickets?
No, I don't. But well, yeah, I think my one word response would just be an emoji of my middle finger.
This is what bad ownership does. They don't give a rip. No. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's what they're saying.
Yeah, not watch them.
Well, okay, fine.
What are you going to do? Pee on me? Somebody, like, I don't know.
I don't think they're saying that. Somebody else is going to watch. Yeah. Dude, they don't care.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, haven't we already heard that the new Mavericks owners know nothing about basketball? They don't give a rip. No.
They're just there to build a casino.
And if enough of you dudes start crying, they'll just move the team.
On the plus side.
I mean, it's really unbelievable.
And I don't know if this is the plus side or not.
If I'm a Mavs fan, I'm never watching them again.
There is a chance now that this really does open the door, I mean wide open, for your Portland Trailblazers to be in the play-in game. Like, not only is the tank not on.
But wait.
Yeah.
The playoff push is
coming. The playoff push is happening.
Didn't the Blazers trade their star and raise their ticket prices too?
I don't know if they raised them. Did that happen?
I don't know. I don't think they dropped them. Yeah. They might have kept them flat.
Well, I'll tell you what. I went to a couple games for like $9 over the last couple of years. Although ticket prices are starting to like demand because people actually think this team is kind of fun to watch. But when you look at them, the only two teams that you have to climb to get into the play-in is the Phoenix Suns, who are an unmitigated disaster. They're already saying Kevin Durant's going to be traded in the offseason. I'm waiting for that dude to pull the shoot. And then you got the Dallas Mavericks. What the hell are they doing? You're four games back. I'm telling you right now, Portland's going to make the damn play-in. They really are.
Hee-hee, Magic Johnson.
And great. By the way, I don't think that's a good thing, but buckle up, because this is happening. That door is now wide open.
Wait, what am I buckling up for?
Playoff basketball, thank you very much.
Why are you bracing me? I don't care.
Oh, you care. You're about to get playoff fever.
Wonderful. Just marvelous. Yeah.
And then we get to hear in the offseason how we don't need to do anything because the core is in place. Just let this. Who needs draft picks, baby? 10th seed, here we come.
Yeah, Isaac broke some news to me before the show, and it's not just that they're on this playoff push. It's that this team, they got something special here, according to one of their own.
Well, I got in my car to come to the show, and I turned on my favorite midday show.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking, aren't you?
Danny and Dusty?
There you go.
Danny's first, right?
Yeah, it can't be Dusty because there's already a Dusty and Danny.
Yeah, the Dusty and Danny.
Okay, Danny and Dusty. Yeah, I was listening to them.
Your favorite that you had to stop me. Yeah.
I mean, nothing gets me to turn off the radio more than Tumani Kamara talk, and that's what I got. But I stuck with it because I was like, all right, I'll hear this through.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just started thinking. See, I get my brain going.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't happen often, but Tumani Kamara talk will get my brain going.
Massages your brain.
And I got to thinking, I'm like, you know, first of all, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, do listeners want this? You know, that was my first thing.
Okay.
And I concluded, no, they don't. And then the second thing is...
Good thing we're giving it to him right now, then.
Well, no, it's a different thought. I had a thought of, do you think that if you... And it's not all Blazer fans, but do you think that there is a majority of Blazer fans who cares more about a player popping like Tumani Kamara than they do even championships or the team's record? Because I really feel like, and I think this is unique to this town, dude, nothing gives Blazer fans a boner more than some player coming out of nowhere and developing right before their eyes. And then them having a steal of a deal until he gets paid $10 million a year or whatever it is.
And
nothing.
Sports Woody?
I mean nothing.
I tend to agree
with
that.
Dude, they live for it.
This is what we do.
They live for it.
This is what we do.
And wait, are you one of them now? You say we, this is what we do?
We as the Blazer community, now that we're in the playoff push, I think we start going with we.
If you zoom out just a little bit, you will realize that as nice as Tumani Kamara is, and I'm not saying anything bad about Tumani Kamara.
He's nice.
As nice as that is, it doesn't matter a lick.
No.
not a lick.
No, because you don't have a single all-star caliber player anywhere near the roster.
So perhaps this is Blazer fans' mental gymnastics of getting over the fact that they're going nowhere again. And they just put all their eggs into, hey, well, at least they got Timani Kamara. Like, it makes them feel better.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey.
I don't know of another fan base that does that quite as well as Portland. I'm tipping my cap.
Yes. Because
I got a whole segment of Timani Kamara talk, and I was just like, oh, my God. He can't be that good. But, I mean, to this town, he's the next freaking... Well, who was the guy before?
Maybe a Nick Batum. You know, I guess that's kind of where this is at. He's a long rangey 3-and-D guy.
I mean, we tried to make Zach Collins that guy, but he never really was.
Oh, God, no. But Zach Collins was a high pick.
Maybe Sergio. I mean, they loved Sergio.
Yeah, we do.
Rudy.
We loved Rudy Fernandez for a while. Yeah. You know, the Alfa Rucaminus of the world.
Chief.
Yeah, we love. Look, we fall in love.
I don't know if he falls into that.
We fall in love with a lot of randos, and I'll say this: Kamara is a nice player, and the fact that you got him as a kind of an add-on to the Ayton deal is phenomenal. That's a great get. But this is what I've been saying all year: you have you don't even have a collection. Like, the best thing you got going for you right now is you got two or three guys that look to be solid starters, and we seem to. Some, as you said, some Blazer fans make that out to be this phenomenal core of like, oh my God, the sky's the limit. And let me tell you, the sky is not the limit. That's more of like the skyline is the limit. You know, like
I have an example for you. Listen to me.
Yeah.
I want you to go to Pinwheel Empire.
All right.
Okay, this came across hold on, how do you spell pinwheel? Pinwheel. Beep beep choo. And we spelled program, P-R-O-G-U-M. Yeah. Okay, and I love Pinwheel Empire. Mm-hmm.
They do a good job.
Blazer Twitter, this is what I'm talking about right here.
Are we on Twitter or are we on their website?
It's on Twitter.
Okay.
And Pinwheel Empire tweets 23 minutes ago, look at how much this team loves each other, man. Mm-hmm. And it's Ant Simons and the team. I guess they're on the team plane. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't even need sound up. They're high-fiving. They're having a good time together, whatever. Yeah. And then it says... We got something real special happening here, Blazer family. This is what I'm talking about, right there.
Yeah.
It's just the cutest little thing, but do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
You got
special?
Hey, you're going to be the 10th seed.
Like, what are they talking about?
Well, they're 10th seed. So that's what we're talking about.
This is what Portland does. Now, if you would like us to feed into that every day with an hour of hot Timani Kamara Western Conference Player of the Month talk... Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do that. We're not above that.
I'm watching this video of Anthony Simons being adorable on the airplane, and it sure does look like a cozy family environment.
But I don't think the people want that. Mm. At least our listeners. Maybe they do. Mm. Maybe they do. Let's take a call in right now. 503.
Buck wants to talk to you.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you even call?
Don't worry.
Call the same as the text number.
Same number.
That's right.
864-6326.
You can text or call it.
First call gets through onto the air. You can give your hot Blazer take for 2.5 minutes. Actually, 5 minutes. We'll go the way of Kermit Washington.
Oh, we got a Mo Harkless. That was pretty good. We fell in love with Mo. Josh Hart was another one.
Wesley Matthews was one.
Yeah.
But he was already... talking about...
Josh Hart was a great example of this. That Josh Hart... Yeah. And Josh Hart's a solid starter, but boy, there was a lot of like, how dare you get rid of Josh Hart?
I think
there's a lot of that.
To me, it's less the already a veteran player who can play in the league like Josh Hart or Rodney Hood or Wesley Matthews, and more the guy that you never saw coming, right? That is just a diamond in the rough, and my God, for whatever reason, he has popped, and your sports pants just explode here. Yeah. Yeah. They go crazy over it.
Just the idea of getting that 10th seed and getting your ass kicked by Oklahoma City. Oh, yeah.
Well, this does lead to a question.
Hmm.
I think before the end of our show today, before we turn it over to Hot Ducks Hoosiers Hoops, we have to have the starting five of this ilk. We have to put
I like where we're going.
Timani Kamara's on the team.
Oh, 100%. In fact, Timani Kamara right now, dude, that guy might be driving the bus.
Like you're starting five of fan favorites kind of a deal?
No,
non-star fan favorites?
We need to describe it.
The guy that was a nice player that Portland turned into the next Kobe Bryant. And by the way,
I mean, might they call Shaden Sharp Baby Kobe.
Might I add to this? Exactly. Baby Kobe, you might have two of them on this very team. And one of them, Shaden Sharp, I think last night, or maybe it was the day before, maybe it was the game before that, I think they said it was his second double-double ever. Ever? Double-double? And we're like, oh my God, Baby Kobe. I'm like, I don't think it took Kobe 3 years to get two double-doubles.
Both the text line and the YouTube have said Thomas Robinson from KU.
I don't think so.
I don't think. I don't think he was.
I don't think he got the tread. You guys, I'm talking about when serious sports segments are done on a player, and like, what? Oh my God, this guy! Can you believe it? Line up the phone call, you know, and it's like some guy who you hadn't even heard of 6 months ago. Like, it's that guy.
Yeah. And by the way, someone said on the text line here, I think clinicians refer to this concept as the Jermaine O'Neal effect, and that's what it is. It's that deep-seated fear that you let some guy out the door and you don't appreciate him and he becomes Jermaine O'Neal. And that I swear to God, that haunts Blazer fans forever. The Jermaine O'Neal, Dale Davis thing, they will never recover from that. 100%.
Right. Well, this is a fun exercise. So I have pulled up the Blazers index on a Basketball Reference. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I'm not going to go through year by year, and we're going to get this team
out. You're
going
to get every single damn name on that list.
You're damn right we are. Because I don't joke about this. This is a very serious list.
Yeah. And by the way, like Rudy Fernandez definitely needs to be on that list.
That's pretty good.
Because the Rudy Fernandez, was it Rudy or was it Sergio, where we were getting reports that there was an all-star that was offered up in the offseason and Portland was like, no.
It was Rudy.
Was it Rudy?
Because Rudy was better than
they're
Sergio.
They're like, no. No, there will be no trade for an all-star because he will develop.
I think I have one.
Yeah.
You tell me if he makes the team.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Crabb.
Oh, yeah. We love some Alan Crabb. They gave him a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Crabb was the next big thing.
Yeah.
I think Alan Crabb is Tumani Kamara.
You got Alan Crabb. You could definitely have some Travis Outlaw if you want to throw that in there. And as someone pointed out last year, for like 20 games, Delano Banton at one point was being... People thought Delano Banton because they got him from what, Boston?
It didn't have the staying power, but yeah, the Batman was a thing.
Oh my God. Blazer fans were talking about Delano Banton like, holy God, look at the size of this
car. We've got something here. We've got something real here.
Holy God.
You guys can't even contain yourself. I'm telling you, that's this, and that's okay. Listen, I'm not being critical.
No.
It's okay. It's just whatever helps you get through the day. And right now, it's Tumani Kamara. And listen, it could be worse. You could be the Dallas Mavericks. Because back to the original point that you brought up, Dallas.
Yeah.
Dude, they thought in Dallas that this could be their best team ever. They're coming off the finals.
Yep.
They improved it.
Yep.
And now, if I told fans, like at the start of the, at the tip of the year, tip off of the season, and I went to Dallas fan and I said, dude, in 4 months, Luka's not even going to be here.
Yeah.
And, they're going to raise ticket prices, and Kyrie Irving's going to be out, and this superstar player that you got for Luka is already going to be hurt. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh, shut up, you idiot. Hot take sports guy trying to get under my skin. Yet all of that is true.
Yeah.
And then they raise ticket prices.
This is the definition of the Lebowski. The plane has gone into the effing mountain. I mean, you're right. It's just, it's an implosion.
Theo on the YouTube says, this segment is causing me immense rage. You guys have no idea.
Well... Look, and truth hurts.
And as someone else points out, I don't know what you're talking about, this whole 10 seed. They're heading to the 8 seed, baby. Come on. Let's go. There's no fan base in the NBA that gets more excited about a potential play-in berth than this squad right here.
Blazers.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, our quest begins.
Starting five.
And then, yeah, we'll get you the starting five before the end of the show. You got to stay tuned.
Armon Johnson in.
No.
Again, those were very... Here's the beauty part. This falls in... There's two categories, because you got, like, the season-long guys, but I love the Delano bands that give you, like, 15 games.
The flash in the pan?
That's my favorite, because the fever really spikes, and then, you know, it dies out very quickly. But, boy, for those 2 or 3 weeks when it's spiking, I love to hear that.
Like, remember when he scored 36 that one time?
Again, that's the Delano Banton effect.
Ooh, Patty Mills a good one.
Yeah, he goes out like Banton would have. Like, did he have a night where he had like 36
something
or whatever?
Like that. Yeah, and it's took just, over fourth quarter.
Do your Blazer shorts are just they're creeping up. They're John Stockton levels.
Super,
just
super duper.
Tight as can be. Love it.
All right, we've got some NFL news in the meantime, but look, we have a key topic for today, and it's set.
We got to get to the bottom of
it's
this.
It's set. Yep, Gary I'm already. Trent Jr. I'm doing Gary Trent. Ooh, Gary Trent's a good one.
That's a good one.
He's going on my short list.
He probably should. He'd probably be considered up there.
And it was a great day when they traded him.
Then eventually they move it, and everyone's like, damn it.
They traded him, and the only show with the courage to say how good that was us. And then all of a sudden, he's like, where is he? Where even is he? Is he in Toronto still chucking up crap?
Probably.
Dude, that guy was.
Toronto.
Yeah, I think he's
right.
Still in Toronto, right?
Dime a dozen.
Yeah. Still with your averaging 10 points, two boards?
No, he's with the Bucks now.
Averaging 10 points and two boards.
Yeah. For the Milwaukee Bucks.
For the Milwaukee Bucks.
That is exactly what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah, 10 big points. What are you talking about?
And you know somewhere some Blazer fans are sitting in a bar like, man, they should have never traded Gary Trent.
Hey, he's only 26 years old, man. He got plenty of time to develop. What are you talking about?
Good hair, though. We'll be right back on The Fan. All right, we've got some hot NFL news today for you guys out there, sports land.
It's the NFL!
Saquon Barkley just got $36 million.
Turns out when you have arguably the best season a running back's ever had, you get a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I still contend, like, all the shade being thrown at the Giants, I'll just say this a million times over. Saquon, the best thing that the Giants and Saquon Barkley ever did was just break up. Because if the Giants had paid him $20 million a year, they're just paying $20 million a year for a guy that would do nothing for the Giants and you'd still win four freaking games. You're just not good. And for all of the Saquon Barkley, like, oh, I got a chip on my shoulder. Great. You got to go with the most talented roster in the NFL, should have won the MVP, and you got a Super Bowl, and now you're getting paid. So it just, good for Saquon Barkley. The dude deserves to get his money, but again, we got to stop with the, Saquon Barkley was great in New York because he wasn't. He was a wasted guy. Running backs are wasted on bad teams. Good running backs on elite teams can do amazing things.
2 years, $41.2 million and 36 guaranteed.
Yeah.
And he can make $15 million more just by being awesome.
Yes.
Let's go football. Bears!
What?
And hopefully he continues to be awesome because, again,
he's such a big piece for them.
Well, he's everything to them.
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of, like, who saw that coming? Even though it was like, even at the time, people were like, Giants, you dummies. But I get what you're saying. But a lot of people were like, come on. You just let him go to the Eagles.
It reminds me a lot of Christian McCaffrey to the 49ers.
Yes.
A little bit.
In that, like, they had a lot cooking there already, but then you put him in the mix, and suddenly, like, your offense becomes a super offense.
And by the way, Carolina was happy to get rid of him.
Right, because he wasn't doing anything for them. He was banged up all the time.
We pay you a bunch of money.
They needed capital?
You're banged up all the time, and even when you're there, we don't have the... It's like having a Ferrari, but you live in a neighborhood with speed bumps, like,
or gravel roads.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And so Carolina was happy to get rid of him. And for San Francisco, now it didn't lead to the Super Bowl. That's Buck.
But put him on the doorstep.
That is a great comp because it did. It led San Francisco to be the most potent offense and the door of a Super Bowl. It worked for both teams. It's just that the Giants didn't get anything out of it because they just, you know, they let him walk. And now, you know, now he's getting paid. And so we can maybe stop the, I've been slighted. And by the way, I'd like to point out, remember that offseason, no one got paid. I think it was like the top four rushing guys. No one got, they didn't stay with their teams. No one wanted to give Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley. And I think there was one more. And all the teams were like, nah, man, we're not doing this. And then they all went to
the running backs were like calling collusion and stuff like that.
Well, but then they all went to better situations. Derrick Henry, they're like, Derrick Henry doesn't have it left in the tank. He goes, plays in Baltimore. Guess what? All of a sudden, he's great again. Well, it helps when you're not playing with the freaking Titans and you go play with the Ravens.
Seahawks cut four today.
Yeah.
George Fant is out.
The old swing tackle. And then Draymond Jones, who, this is the other cautionary tale of, He was one of those guys that they got from the Broncos in free agency. And he was like, you see this all the time where the guy has a nice year and it's like, hey, this dude's ready to break out. And so someone pays him and someone pays him a lot. And that was Seattle. And he didn't break out. It turns out he was just a guy and he wasn't terrible for Seattle. But when you pay him what they did, you can't justify keeping him around. He just never quite ascended to that level. Like Milton Williams is one of those guys with Philadelphia. Like he had a nice year in Philly, and obviously he had the great playoff push, and he's going to get paid. And I don't know if Philly's going to be able to keep him, but just be careful. This happens a lot when you pay guys like this, where you think you're paying for a frontline player, and it turns out you paid a lot of money for a nice rotational piece. And then a couple years after that, then the team's like, ah, hell, just get out of here. And that's, you know, that's the old Mr. Jones up there in Seattle.
Does it seem like they can't ever get the offensive line right?
Yes.
And why is that? Do you have a...
They are the New England Patriots with wide receivers. The Seattle Seahawks are that with offensive linemen. They just hasn't worked. They have yet to...
Draft picks, bad signings, or both?
Both. I mean, they just they bring guys in, and it doesn't really work out. They spend draft capital. You can't say that they don't try. It just hasn't really worked. And you thought Charles Cross, when they drafted him out of Mississippi State, that looked like your left tackle, and it probably still is. It just, last year was a little like, eh. And then Abe Lucas, if he's healthy, you think maybe. And then the inside was just a mess. And they've tried. They have spent first, second, third round picks on O linemen, and they just don't have a good one. And so, you know, I guess if you're Seattle, you cross your fingers that Cross and Lucas are your two tackles. And then you try to find some interior. You got the center out of Michigan that was okay. Maybe that's serviceable. But in today's world of O-line, you really need, and I don't think it has to be your two tackles, you need two stalwarts. If you look at the way most lines are built, you need two guys that are just backstops, right? Like anchors. And then you need probably two other solid players, and you can get by with one guy that's a bit marginal. And that's usually this kind of the way it works. And in Seattle, you got one guy that's kind of a backstop, kind of, and that's about it. So, and yet the last 3 years, they're 10-7, and they're a game away. Last year, they lost on the tiebreaker. If they can address that, just that one issue, if they can find a way to fix that one part, Seattle is in play in this division. And by the way, that is with the very definition of a mediocre quarterback, and I like him more than others, in Geno Smith. But, you know, Geno's not a star. He's a solid kind of half bridge, half solid starter. If they just could find a way to get an O-line going and develop a run game, this team would be viable. But until that O-line really gets solidified, I just fear that it's going to be rinse and repeat.
Okay, I've got my Blazers shortlist over here, which I'll reveal in our next segment. Mm. Okay?
I'm excited about this. Because I've been thinking about...
Well, are you going to add to it?
Well, I think... My guess is that...
I could be missing somebody.
Okay.
But I'm going to reveal what I have so far. But let's compare notes.
All right. Well, when you got... Because I've got a handful of people that need to be on the list, including probably a couple of controversial ones.
Okay.
But I want them on the damn list.
Okay. All right. Well, the short list... doesn't mean they make the five.
They could make your rotation, though.
No, I'm just saying.
No, like, the short list does not mean they make the five.
Not the five. I'm saying, like, in basketball terms, in your rotation, you have maybe eight guys, nine guys, but you have a starting five.
Well, I'll just tell you right now that if Jake Lehman isn't on that damn list...
He's on the list.
I'm going to... Okay.
No, he's on there. He's the definition of what we're talking about.
That's why, like, there's just a handful of guys I need to be on this list.
He might be the MVP.
And if you're a rangy white guy that shoots the ball a little bit and then we get really excited about you, why aren't you there?
So we'll get to that. Also, Sam Darnold will not be back with the Vikings, and other NFL notes next. Here's Buck. All right. Well, Sam Darnold will not be back with your Minnesota Vikings.
No.
They did not franchise him today.
No, they're gonna move on.
And they should.
They're gonna go with JJ McCarthy. Well, it's weird because he played too good. I think they would have been comfortable on that 20 to 25 mil, but I think Sam, and rightfully so, is gonna want something much higher than that. And he's probably gonna, when you pay him that, that kind of put you in a pickle, because I do think they want JJ McCarthy long term. So it goes to show you, as good as Sam Darnold was, and they won what, 13 games, if I'm not mistaken, or did they win 14.
14 games.
Yeah, so they won 14 games. Sam Darnold had a great year. And yet Minnesota at the end of the day went, nah.
Well, you think that if he played well the last couple of games, they would think totally differently about him?
Yeah, probably.
Because he...
As well as
he played, the game against...
What was the game against Detroit?
Detroit. And they had one more after that, didn't they?
Well, the playoff game.
And who'd they lose to?
The Rams.
Yeah, the Rams did the same thing to him.
Yeah.
So those two games right there,
mm-hmm.
if yeah. Darnold plays like he did prior, I think that he might be back in Minnesota. They'd feel good about him.
It's possible.
But he got exposed.
Yeah. Well, and we even said this, like, when you watch Darnold play, like, I hate the system thing. Like, you're getting this with Brock Purdy right now. Brock Purdy is a really good quarterback, but there's draft bias, and we're going to sit there and say that Brock Purdy doesn't look that great and he's the product of Shanahan and all that. But to an extent, Sam Darnold was the definition of the product of a system. Because when you watched him play, the old Sam Darnold attempted to come out. It did. And he just got away with it. And they won a lot of close games. And Sam Darnold had a really nice year, by far his best year. But when you watched him play, I think most people, including the Minnesota staff, knew what was going on. And then, yes, you get exposed at the end of the year and you have the Sam Darnold game that reared its ugly head, a couple of them. And I think that's just that was kind of the nail in the coffin. I still don't know, even if... I mean, look, if you go to the conference finals and he plays great, I think this is harder to do. But let's just say that it was, you know, that he didn't have bad games, but they lost anyways, right? Or maybe they won one extra game. I'm still not certain that Minnesota is paying him the $40 million that he's going to want. You know, I mean, the Daniel Jones thing. I just don't know if they were ever going to look at that and be like, this is where we're comfortable with. Whereas Brock Purdy can look at it and say, hey, I put up 3 years of better numbers than Dak Prescott, better numbers than Trevor Lawrence. I put up better numbers than Jordan Love. Now, I'm not taking $40 million. I want 50. I want 55. Darnold didn't really have a leg to stand on with that. I still think he's a solid option out there, whether that's Tennessee, whether that's Pittsburgh. Like, Sam Darnold proved last year that he deserves to be a starting quarterback in the league, or at least a shot at it. I wouldn't give him $45 million. I would like something more along the lines of kind of the Geno Smith. Some people think he's more Baker Mayfield, but I certainly wouldn't commit more to him than probably 2 years. Ooh,
that's good.
Knowing that, hey, I'll give you the 2 years of guaranteed money, and then if you don't show me in 2 years that Minnesota was for real, a year into this thing, I got to be able to punt without losing my ass.
Power rank, Geno, Darnold, Baker. Bloop, 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 bloop. 1 second.
Okay. Holding.
Oh, damn.
Holding.
Hold on.
Still holding.
Yeah, I know.
Caressing.
Player.
Cuddling. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Okay.
Bloop, bloop,
power bloop, rank, Geno,
mm-hmm.
Baker.
Yeah.
Darnold.
Is there one more, or are we just going those
There's
three?
One more.
Okay.
Just hold on. It's suspenseful.
It is suspenseful. You can cut this tension with a knife. By the way, I've stopped cuddling. We're rounding second base now. This is getting good.
I know.
We're about to go Dr.
The
Dan.
People want to know who I'm going to name next. I'm going to show you my boobs.
it's about to be a diddle involved, Dr. Dan style.
Are your balls jiggling? Cousins.
Because I got cousins old ass. All right. Baker's one. I think Baker is a good starting quarterback in this league. I think Baker is a borderline top 10 quarterback in this league. Rock solid. Baker one, no doubt. I think Geno's two. And
wow.
People call me crazy. Geno Smith is now, it would have been Kirk, but you're 30, whatever, 7 years old, coming off that Achilles tear. You can't move. The Achilles injury is still kind of a career killer. We act like the Achilles injury has just magically gotten better. Dude, a couple years ago, this was known as something you did not come back from. And we've seen it time and time again that it really can be hard to come back from, especially when you're old. Cousins was bad. So I take him out of it simply for his age. Otherwise, he would have been much higher. I think he probably would have been one. But I'm going Geno. I'm going Darnold, and I'm putting Cousins last. I don't like aging quarterbacks that can't move, especially that need to play in a system where you are just going to be beyond protected. So, and Darnold just hasn't done it. We had one season of Darnold being solid. Geno has been solid with a rotten-ass O-line and a rotten-ass running game. I would love to see Geno, this version of him, play in a good system. I think Geno in a good system could be someone that you finally gave some credit to. It's just that he has the Sam Darnold moments, and he plays in a bad system, and he plays with a bad old line. I think Geno, for instance, Geno last year in Minnesota, I think has as good, I actually think he has a better year than Sam Darnold does. But they all have flaws that fundamentally stop them from being quarterbacks that you would be in love with. The only quarterback there that I would feel comfortable with saying that is my franchise guy is Baker.
Yeah, he was fourth QBR this year.
Yeah.
In the whole league.
Yeah.
And we went Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, and we think of Baker because he's not very big, and you know, he doesn't always look like he's in the best shape. He's kind of a bro. Baker's got a big arm. Like that Baker and can move around a little bit. I just think he's one of those guys that he fell victim to he played that year in Cleveland with the bad arm and we roasted him for it. And then he kind of did the no man land thing. And it goes to show you, he can't carry a bad team. He's not that guy. But since he's come to Tampa Bay and you gave him a competent offensive coordinator, actually two offensive coordinators, he's adjusted fine. And you gave him a good team, not a great team, but you gave him a solid one with weapons. Like you said, fourth in QBR.
Yeah, fourth in the whole league.
Yeah.
What if I put Winston or Daniel Jones in there? Would they finish last? Would they be behind?
They would be dead last.
Both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure who would rank last. I mean,
Jones. Really? Would you rather have Winston or Jones?
I think I'd rather have Daniel Jones.
Really?
Well, he can run a little bit, and
well,
dude, they're both turnover just machines. And Daniel Jones a little younger. Although with Jameis, I get some of the intangibles. He's eating W's out there. I don't know. Like you if you have to, let's just say this: if you have to turn to either one of those guys
being
as your quarterback,
increase
your season is not in a state of increase. Your season is Dallas Maverick style. That's just a death sentence. You can't win with either one of those guys. You just can't.
Does Minshew finish last on that list?
No, I think I'd rather. Brutal, I think dude. I'd rather. God, I think I would rather have Minshew than either one of them.
Right.
But again, it's the same.
I've heard someone say that you should try to sign like three or four guys like that, a Jameis, a Minshew, and then just roll the hot hand all season. Yeah. So you can get four guys like that for the $40 million or $50 million and just throw the right one out there every week.
No.
The league will never see it coming.
Where's the James Franklin? No.
Because most of those guys, they never have more than three or four good games in a row in them, and then you got to move to the next one.
Well, Rob said this many, many moon ago that, and I think we were talking maybe about the NBA or maybe it was baseball, I forget, but he just said that's like, and I always thought it was a very good point. Like the difference between like really good players and average ones is consistency, and everyone at this level is capable of having a good game or two. Some people are capable of going on a run where you have four or five. I mean, this whole Blazer thing that we're talking about, the Delano Banton effect or whatever, Jake Layman.
Irrationally loved Blazers.
Yes. Every one of these guys has gone on a run to make you fall in love with them. And that's like last year, Jameis had a little bit of that where all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, remember Josh Dobbs? You know,
Arizona.
Yeah, there were some Dobbs moments where you're like, oh my God, look at this. And then the reality of the situation just comes crashing down upon you. And every one of the Gardner Minshew had this. Well, I remember that. Like he had this guy is
but
is
I feel
plucky.
Like that happens with so the top two guys you had on that list were Baker and Geno.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens with them too.
Sure, it does.
Because
we try to make them something better.
Yeah, you try to make they can win a you are not winning a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield or Geno Smith. You're just not. And here's why. because Baker Mayfield, as good as he was last year, and he was good, probably better than you even know. Like I said, he was fourth in the league in QBR. What ended up happening in the biggest games? Washington game.
He botched it.
Twice.
Yeah.
He had two huge turnovers.
Killer.
The year before.
Yeah.
The one turnover was the fumble on the snap, right?
Yeah.
And then he threw a pick.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened the year before.
The year before, they were in Detroit, poised to drive down and win the game. What happened?
He
threw a pick.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield will always show you and remind you that he's Baker Mayfield. And that's not to say he's bad.
No.
Geno Smith is the same way.
And in fairness, because again, I like Geno and I like Baker more than a lot of people. And yes, I think the difference is, for me at least, I think you can.
No, you cannot.
I think you can. And look, I know it's hard to do, but I don't think that there's a huge difference between, and this is going to piss some people off, Baker more so. I don't want to say Geno. I'm going to leave Geno out of this. I'm saying Baker. There is not much difference between Eli Manning and Baker Mayfield. There just isn't.
Okay, but can I point something out, though?
Yeah.
And I'm going to use an extreme example.
Okay.
But this is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You could be undefeated mm-hmm. with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You probably won't be, but you could be.
Could be.
Good team.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into the playoffs,
yeah.
I want you to remember what Patrick Mahomes looked like
yeah.
when he ran into the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, he's got murdered.
Okay? How do you think Baker's going to handle that? Okay, well, so this is what happened. This is what I'm saying. I mean, Mahomes is the biggest winner in the league.
Yeah.
When you get into the playoffs, you run into teams like that.
Yeah.
Buzzsaws.
Sure.
Playing with their hair on fire. Yeah. Baker Mayfield ain't pulling you out of that, dude.
Yeah. No.
And in this instance, this is why I use an extreme example. Usually, Patrick Mahomes wins those games.
Yes.
In this instance, not even he could do that. There is zero chance Baker Mayfield wins the Super Bowl.
See,
unless you get really lucky with the matchups.
Yeah.
And I mean really lucky.
I just think if you would have taken that Philadelphia team that we just saw and you flopped it, Jalen Hurts, and I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's better than Jalen Hurts, but that was the 29th best passing attack in the NFL. If you put Baker Mayfield on that Philadelphia team, I think they can win a Super Bowl.
I think the Rams are in the Super Bowl.
It's possible.
Because I think in that weather, Baker Mayfield turned it over six times.
It's possible. I just think when you look back, I said it's extremely hard. But Eli Manning won two, Brad Johnson won one, and the Philly one with Carson Wentz, you know, getting hurt. That's the Nick Foles thing. That's not a fair argument because Wentz was an MVP-type candidate, and Foles got hot in the postseason. But if you want to shoehorn that in, Trent Dilfer with Baltimore. And I know some of these had generational defenses, right? Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl. Statistically, I believe Peyton Manning was the worst statistical quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl that year with Denver. Because, again, he had a historically good defense. And so it can be done. It's just it doesn't happen very often because, as you said, you need good matchups, you need lightning in a bottle, and you need a generational defense or just a absurd team around you.
See,
and that's hard. But if you can't find a top 10 quarterback and 20 teams in the league can't, and you have to go with a Baker Mayfield, I think that's the best of the rest of the guys.
Getting
a guy like Baker.
I agree with that.
I do think there's a path forward. You just have to do it cleaner and better than the other guy.
I just feel it. But see, that's what he can't do. That's where we differ.
Yeah.
Is when you, all those examples you brought up, the even old ass Peyton Manning,
yeah.
The thing about him was he was smart enough to not make the big mistake. Eli Manning was the same way. Joe Flacco got hot in the playoffs. I mean, Joe Flacco's not that great, right?
No. But Eli made a lot of mistakes. He just had those two Super Bowl runs where he didn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I guess that's true. That's a good point. Eli was a mistake-prone guy, generally speaking.
Not in those
but
playoffs.
Cleaned though. It up in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep.
Baker Mayfield is not capable of that,
he doesn't.
In my opinion.
He still remains that guy.
Baker Mayfield will always remind you that he is a turnover-prone.
Yeah.
And that's it. I would take 25% less Baker Mayfield
mm-hmm.
if it meant those key turnovers don't happen.
I get it.
But that's not him.
No.
And that's not Geno either.
No, it's not.
So it's their fatal flaw.
Yeah.
And maybe mm-hmm. you could convince me that, you know, Baker goes on a run like Eli in the playoffs, but I don't think so. But just because I think Eli was a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Even though he had flaws, he didn't have that fatal flaw like those two guys do,
no.
Which is why they've bounced around the league. And Eli's a Hall of Famer.
It's valid point.
So we just, point. We just disagree on that.
Yeah. I think a little bit more of those guys. And I just think for a lot of teams, it's not realistic to nab one of those guys because there's just, there's like 10 of them. There's 10. And if you can't get one, what are you going to do?
All right.
And I don't think you can sit there and say, we're just going to wait till we get one of those guys because the Chicago Bears have been waiting 70 years to get that guy. So it's hard.
All right. I will reveal what I have so far for my diamond in the rough Blazers players that fans made into the next big thing when they were most certainly not the next big thing, even if they were good, but it didn't matter because fans climaxed with sports satisfaction. That's what I'm labeling this.
That's a great
term. Or we could go with what one of the listeners texted in. Blazer fans most irrationally love Trailblazers. But that, I feel, is a different kind of...
Yeah.
That's a different definition.
Because you can love someone and not think that they're necessarily great. No, we're talking about, hey, this guy's going to be, again, baby Kobe.
Yeah, diamond in the rough players Blazer fans made into the next big thing when they were most certainly not the next big thing, even if good, but it didn't matter because fans climaxed with sports satisfaction.
Yeah.
We are giving you the starting five of that team by 5:30 today, and I have the shortlist coming up next for you guys. Okay? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you going to add to it, you little...
I need to see what your list is, but yes, I've got a handful.
There's a lot of names coming in.
I've got a handful of guys that need to be in contention.
Right, we gotta go. We'll be right back. Isaac and Souk on the Fan. Okay, we're behind.
What? Us?
I like ranking quarterbacks. That's fun.
Well, it's the toughest position in all sports. It's the hardest to find, and it's the most important in any sport. So yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Quick reminder. According to the ESPN countdown clock, we only have 5 seconds to TGL Tuesday. Tiger Woods is back in action tonight.
Can we just get done with TGL Monday?
Yeah. Right.
They're doing Monday and Tuesday.
I don't know if my heart can take Buck's erratic mood swings.
Yeah, we doubled down today because of our yesterday's loss.
Yeah, we're betting against Tiger tonight.
You doubling up to catch up?
We're drinking some juice, too. It's
-155, Atlanta is the play.
But, as Isaac told me last night, Tiger's team sucks.
It does.
Well, he sucks.
Yes.
And so does Max Homa, who's on his team, who
Max
also
Homa,
sucks.
Max Homa, he's terrible right now. And Kevin Kisner sucks, but he's not playing tonight. I think it's, who's the other guy? Tom Kim, I think?
Tom Kim, yeah.
And he's pretty good, but the other team will wax the floor with them.
I love the other team.
Hey, Billy Horschel's been playing great in this format.
No one knows who any of the teams are. They just have random stupid names.
So it's the Jupiter Lynx against the Atlanta Drive.
Atlanta, I think, has Justin Thomas. No, he played last night.
Atlanta Drive.
No, Atlanta has Horschel, and they added Nick Dunlap.
What?
He's in for the first time today.
The youth.
Defunct WNBA team or TGL team?
Atlanta Drive?
The Atlanta Drive.
That's pretty good.
I'm sorry. You're telling me the Atlanta Drive at one point wasn't a member of the WNBA? Or what was the other basketball women's league that we had for a while? Remember, there were two leagues.
Yeah, because we needed two.
I'm
Lucas Glover, the other goal.
I'm fairly certain the Atlanta Drive was indeed a women's basketball team.
We're laying the money with Atlanta tonight. All right, well... Okay, so we have to get back on track. So when we come back, we will have the diamond in the rough players Blazer fans made into the next big thing when they were most certainly not the next big thing, even if they were good, but it didn't matter because fans climaxed with sports satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Requirements. You had to have had a good enough run of basketball to get a call-in segment on the local Homer Sports Talk.
Okay.
Okay? And I think that the list of the short list that I have right now, because we're going to break it down, by the end of the show, we're going to have five.
Yeah.
The official five.
Yeah.
The short list right now, I don't know if I'm missing many, but we're going to throw out the short list next, and then we'll pare it down. We'll try to start paring it down.
See what we can do.
And see if you can add to it. Okay. So that's next on The Fan.